Today is July 15th, 2016. I am Michelle Schabowski, and I will be interviewing Patrick Killeen. The interview is taking place over the telephone. I am at the PA History Society office in Johns Creek, Georgia. And where are you today, Patrick?
I am in South Salem, New York, home.
Could you state your full name, please?
Sure. My name is Patrick Edward Killeen.
Okay. Can you spell your last name?
K-I-L-L-E-E-N.
Today we're going to talk about your unique experience of being one of the few people, if not the only one, to be both president of SAPA and then president of the AAPA. We're also going to be discussing the Peter Nyquist Student Writing Scholarship and how it was started, and also the LGBTQ history within the PA profession. But before we get to all of that, could you tell us a bit about your background?
Yeah, you know, I was a undergraduate in the University of in Colorado State University, and my undergraduate was in early childhood education at that time. And during that time, I was talking to a professor about other careers, and my professor was the one who told me about the PA profession. Interestingly, I applied three times to the PA profession and got accepted finally on the third attempt, and that was even in the early 80s in 1984 when I entered the PA profession. And I was at the University of Colorado Health Science Center at the time is what they called it, and it was the Child Health Associate Physician Assistant Program started by Henry Silver, who was the physician and the director.
What made you decide to become a PA? What drew you to it?
You know, I started off with an idea of being pre-med, and then I really enjoyed working with children and families, and that's how I got into the early childhood education component. And in talking with my professor, I remember his name very clearly. His name was Rex Culp, K-U-L-P, or C-U-L-P. And he actually, you know, was my advisor and said, well, why are you picking this profession when you would like to be in medicine? And I said I wanted to do something that would combine medical aspects as well as developmental aspects. And thought of developmental pediatrics, and that's when he told me about the physician assistant profession and the program in Denver, Colorado, where I live.
After you graduated, what did you go on to do? Can you give us some of the highlights of your career?
Yeah. You know, when I was a PA student in, I think it was 85, the Student Academy of the American Academy of Physician Assistants came to speak to our PA program, and during that time, they asked for people to volunteer and help out within the Student Academy. So I went to the Student Academy for their assembly representatives, and during that time, kind of got excited with my fellow classmates regarding participating with the Student Academy, and was elected at that time the Western Regional Chairperson, who would go to the different PA programs. At the time, there were only 50 PA programs, and my goal, my responsibilities were to go to the PA program and talk about the Student Academy and the American Academy of Physician Assistants and educate students about what the AAPA was doing on their behalf. And from there, the following year, I was elected in 1986 to be the president of the Student Academy of AAPA, which was really an exciting time and gave me a lot of opportunities to meet a lot of leaders within the PA profession and even within the healthcare industry, which was really probably the most motivating factor for me then to become president in 2010 of the AAPA. So from 1985 till 2010, I think that was an amazing time to be in the PA profession because it was expanding by leaps and bounds. Scope of practices were increasing as well as roles and responsibilities within the PA profession. So I was really excited about it at the time. From after being as a Student Academy president, I really got my first job. So my first job was in Norwalk, Connecticut, in their postgraduate residency training program. And it was one of, I think it was only two other postgraduate residency training programs in pediatrics. And since I graduated with a master's at the Child Health Associate Program. It is the only master's level PA program in the early 80s. And since I already had my master, I came on to staff within the Norwalk Postgraduate Residence Training Program. And I was there for about 3.5 years. And with the change of leadership at that time, I quickly became the coordinator of the Postgraduate PA Residency Program for Pediatrics at Norwalk Hospital. They also had a surgical program, but I was responsible for the pediatric program. It was a great responsibility in doing education and training for PA students after being out for only 3 years. It was a wonderful experience. It made me think about then moving on to education. So in 1990, I became an assistant professor and academic coordinator for the Physician Assistant Program and then Healthcare Sciences at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. And as their academic coordinator, my responsibilities were training first-year students as a PA student. It was a great experience, loved it a lot, but I really did miss the clinical aspects of medicine. And so the end of 1993-94, I changed positions. I went back to clinical practice, and I worked at Danbury Hospital in Danbury, Connecticut, Department of Pediatrics, and I've been at Danbury since the end of 1993. So for over 22 years, I've been at Danbury Hospital working clinically as a pediatric hospitalist within the Department of Pediatrics.
Let's go back a bit. So can you tell me more about being president of SAPA? What made you want to become president of SAPA? What drew you to that?
During that time, the Student Academy and the Academy in general was really looking at making some advancements and changes in how they communicated with PA students as well as with graduates. And so in 1986, when I became president, I really wanted to improve the communication with PA students, educators, and the academy. And that's really what made me select, want to be the president for the Student Academy at that time. It gave me an opportunity also to go to many different PA programs and talk about the profession throughout the United States. I had the opportunity to work with other student academy leaders, including the American Medical Association, American Student Medical Association for Family Practice, and educate them regarding physician assistants so that we would start training the new physicians on the appropriate utilization of physician assistant. So that was really what got me into it. Shortly thereafter, as immediate past president, I had the opportunity to work with Scott Chavez, who was the president of AAPA at that time, for a report called the Jose Report. And I'd have to go back to look at the acronyms of the report. But really, it was restructuring the academy, and part of that was on communication. And during that time, we actually restructured the student academy to be more efficient, knowing that the growth of the PA profession was expanding. Mm-hmm. So that was really an exciting time. One of the other things that happened during that time is that as a physician assistant, I was had come out as a gay physician assistant, and I had met a large group of PAs at the LGBT physician assistant group. It was a small group of individuals, and they were really excited to make an impact on healthcare. And this is during the time that HIV was really exploding. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I lost many friends to HIV in the physician assistant community. One of those friends that we did lose was Peter Nyquist. Mm-hmm. And he was within the Student Academy leadership on the board. And it was really hard, I think, for the board at that time. And so we decided, Peter was in charge of writing the newsletters and updates for the Student Academy that were sent out to all the different programs and program directors, and he was an excellent writer. So we decided to name a scholarship the Peter Nyquist Student Writing Scholarship. So for students who wrote articles for the PA Journal or other journals, it was a way to recognize their scholarly activities and had a great remembrance for Peter Nyquist. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, many, many years later, the Student Academy and the Academy just took out Peter Nyquist's name out of the Student Writing Award, and now it's simply the Student Writing Award. And it's, well, I understand that, you know, someone's name doesn't need to be attached to every award. It really is important to remember Peter as a great writer and as a PA student and graduate within the Academy. During all of this time, I continued to be moving within leadership and having different leadership positions. But one of the things that I was able to do within my roles on the AAPA board was kind of impact some issues within the conference planning committee and making sure that we have representative educational programs, including things on HIV, LGBT health issues. And in 2003, I had a personal friend, his name was Kevin Jennings, who happened to be one of Time Magazine's top 20 people in that time. And he actually had developed an organization called the Gay and Lesbian Straight Education Network. And that program is still used today in a lot of, in our schools throughout the United, many schools throughout the United States. And it's really a program to stop bullying of LGBTQ students in schools and have a safe place for them to go to. So Kevin actually came to the AAPA meeting in 2003 and gave a presentation about LGBT health issues and, about his program, the Gay and Lesbian Straight Education Network. Interestingly, subsequently to that time frame, Kevin was selected as the Assistant Deputy Secretary for the Office of State Education and Drug for Drug-Free Schools, and that was all within the U.S. Department of Education. And during that time, he talked about that while things continue to move toward the LGBT community, it's really the transgender issues that were going to be in the forefront in the next 10 years. And here we are in 2016, and we're looking at transgender health issues, human rights issues for transgender individuals. So I think the Academy has been very responsive to address those issues, and we have been addressing those issues clearly for some time since I was involved within the LGBT caucus. Within the Academy. So I'm pretty pleased with seeing the transition of the Academy to include all aspects of health care for all areas of individuals. And when we're talking about, you know, health care for all and health care disparities, transgender issues are significantly an issue. Even in when I was president, we nominated Robert Wooten to be the representative to the AMA Commission to End Healthcare Disparities, which was a great opportunity to, again, present physician assistance within the issue of healthcare and healthcare disparities. And the AAP actually sponsored the AMA meeting to end healthcare disparities in Washington, D.C. in 2010. And I had the opportunity as president to address the group with our executive vice president. And it just makes you think back to, you know, all those individuals before you who really pushed for healthcare disparity issues and addressed them, including our own Joyce Nichols, who was the first African-American woman, PA. And I think those are things that we need to remember and recognize.
So with SAPA, was there anything with SAPA, your service as president, that helped you in your career development?
Oh, I think everything that I learned from the Student Academy during those early days helped me professionally in my career development, from speaking abilities in front of large crowds, which everyone has an issue with, including myself at times, you know, to learning how to maneuver and deal with different issues that are very difficult and that people have strong feelings for, and working to be able to come to some type of a consensus that everyone agrees that this is the direction that the Student Academy is going to go forward on, as well as the general academy. So having those skills and practicing those skills as a student have definitely helped me throughout my career as a PA and talking with families and getting information on a level that they understand and words and terminology that they can understand, to being able to talk to the AMA president and other healthcare organizations and promote the concepts and ideas of team-based care, where the PA may be a leader of that team in many instances.
How do you feel your service in the Student Academy helped you with your becoming president of AAPA later on?
I think the Student Academy is a great area to learn the skill sets that you need to become a professional as a physician assistant or in leadership positions. And the Student Academy actually gives everyone from that comes to the AAPA conferences an opportunity to address issues that and learn about issues that they may have not seen within their PA program that affect the profession. Everything from legislative issues and going to the Capitol that I was able to do and go to the Capitol with my PA program director, as well as Ann Davis, who's now on the AAPA staff. And having mentors such as Ann Davis, who now has done an amazing job with state legislative issues, and starting off learning those skill sets from other PAs is an amazing opportunity within the Student Academy. I think it's one of the greatest things that the Academy does is teaching students how to talk to legislators and how it's going to affect their practice and patient care access, healthcare disparities, all those types of issues.
So do you have advice for young PAs that would like to get involved in service positions, or encouragement for student PAs to get involved in service positions with the Student Academy, for instance?
Well, one of the challenges is the continuation of communication, and that was then addressed throughout. I mean, every organization has those issues. And the Student Academy is very much challenged with the expansion of the PA programs to get their information regarding being a student and the Student Academy to the PA programs. The PA programs and their directors need to be responsible to move that message down to get excited and involved. So I think that the communication issue to students from SAPA, from the PA programs and their directors and the AAPA are really imperative. Unfortunately, not all programs and program directors are as supportive of the having students being involved in the Student Academy when they feel that the students must really learn the academic issues, and that's really what they're there for. You know, in the old days, if you want to be a Student Academy president, you just ran. Nowadays, you need to make sure that your program director says that you have academics are strong enough that you can participate with other extracurricular activities within the academy. And those are big changes, because that wasn't a focus at the time when I was in the Student Academy, and clearly understand the educational programs perspective that students are there to learn, and that they can continue to learn professionalism during graduation and after graduation. But I really do think the programs bear a large responsibility to encourage student involvement within the Student Academy. When I was president for the AAPA, I asked the staff to give me a list of PA programs that were less active within the Academy. I specifically reached out to those programs and program directors and sent emails and follow-up. Unfortunately, only one out of that list were responsive. And that's the type of information and things that I am challenged with personally as a leader within the profession and as a program director, that they need to embrace all aspects of educational professionalism, including the Student Academy.
So during your presidency with the AAPA, you've went into some of the things you did while you were president, but are there any other highlights you'd like to tell us about?
As AAPA president, you're the spokesperson for the profession. I had an amazing opportunity to go to the White House on three occasions. those three occasions included the signing of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as many would call it, and to meet the president. And that was an amazing opportunity, and I thanked him for including physician assistants as one of the three providers of health care. The other opportunity that I subsequently had was working with the First Lady, Michelle Obama, on a national program called Joining Forces. Joining Forces was a program that addressed the psychosocial needs and family needs and healthcare needs of U.S. military servicemen and women. So, for example, they presented a case that both mom and dad were in the military. Well, who's going to take care of their children? And it was the grandparents who were responsible to take care of these children. And so we talked about the psychosocial effects on the children as well as the grandparents and how do you address their health care needs and psychosocial needs. So this program is still going on today, and I had the opportunity to go to the White House twice for the Joining Forces campaign as well as the rollout, and it was a great opportunity. The Academy continues to support the Joining Forces campaign.
Would you like to talk about the LGBTQ history within the PA profession? Give us some...
The LGBTQ was really The LGBTQ caucus came about because of issues regarding HIV and the issues of access to health care, people refusing to take care of patients as well. And so the small group of individuals that started the program, and you'd have to address some of that before I came in to the program in the mid-80s, and I believe Walter Stein and some other leaders may be able to give you that information, but in the 80s, it was really kind of the beginning and the explosion of HIV and the fearful factor of many providers to take care of HIV patients or even refusing to take care of HIV patients. So the LGBT small group then became a caucus and was recognized as a caucus by the Academy. And then from there, that caucus was able to become a voting member of the AAPA House of Delegates. And what this was really important for was that it allowed a formal process to bring up issues that affected the LGBTQ community, including HIV. So policies were presented by the LGBT caucus for the AAPA, and that became policy about the AAPA. Many of those are dealing with issues of healthcare disparities as well as social justice issues. And so there's very strong policy within the Academy about non-discrimination. I think the LGBT caucus should be really commended because they are the group that really brought a lot of this forward for the Academy.
I didn't realize it was started so kind of late. I always thought like the caucus was started earlier than that. So
yeah, you know, I don't really know when it was started. That's why I think Walter Stein would be a really great person for you to talk to. I just know when I came into the PA profession in 1980, when I came into the PA profession in 1984, the group was very active and very vocal, but did not have a full recognized status within the Academy, and so they became a caucus and then became a voting member of the House.
Anything else you would like to add about the topics we've discussed so far?
Other responsibilities and kind of my progression to the AAPA president was that in 1997, I became the first liaison to the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the Academy was looking at how do we reach out to physician organizations and educate those physician organizations about the appropriate utilization of physician assistants. So the issues that I addressed within the student Academy and reaching out to the other student physician leadership programs with AMA and Family Practice and the American College of Surgeons, all of those groups that we had reached out as students, now in 1997, we reached out to many times many of the same individuals that had now been graduates, as well as their organizations, to educate the organization and practicing practicing physicians about the appropriate utilization of PAs. I think that was a great stance for the academy to take. Several years later, I became the liaison coordinator and coordinated over 30 different specialties with an outreach program including OBGY and head and neck surgery, the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association representative. And that was a great opportunity to learn how to take 30 different specialty areas, pull them into one component, and find nuances and commonalities that the academy needed to address. And I think those were great learning experiences from the student academy up to being the AAPA president.
During your career as a PA, what was your most memorable moment?
Going to the White House, meeting the president and the first lady.
Yeah, that's pretty memorable.
Yeah.
Okay, is that also the thing you're most proud of?
Yeah, it is.
It is, yeah. So did you play a part in the Affordable Care Act, getting that put through offering input on it?
Yeah, within the Affordable Care Act, the academy and the staff and the board all made within the staff and the board, they came up with areas of consensus they felt that would be important to have within the Affordable Care Act. And so the academy then utilized those opportunities and those key talking points to go to state legislators, as well as, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate, to review and discuss what needed to be in the Affordable Care Act to improve healthcare access by the increased utilization of PAs. So the academy really did have an assertive effort to address issues within the Affordable Care Act, and the administration was actually quite responsive by listing PAs as one of the primary care providers of healthcare in the United States.
Did you have a particular mentor or someone that helped you, that you looked up to when you were starting your PA career, or influenced you throughout your PA career?
I think the person that probably influenced me most was Scott Chavez, who was the president when I was student academy president at the time, and the immediate past president for the student academy, and mainly because I was able to work closely with him on the student academy issues. And while he may have been the first person that affected me directly, I would say the entire academy, the academy leadership, the staff, have been an amazing mentor and educator of my knowledge within healthcare in general. And without the AAPA staff and their leadership, I don't think any president can be as successful as I have been without their input.
Do you have any advice for those who are thinking of becoming PAs, or for those who are just starting their careers as PAs?
I had the opportunity to mentor many different PA students as pre-PA students. As they enter the profession, they come to our hospital at Danbury Hospital, and I enjoy that so much, the opportunity to pass it on to the next generation. So I think the encouragement would be for all our PA colleagues to look at themselves being a mentor for a pre-PA student or a PA student during the rotation. Those are really great opportunities.
Do you have anything to say to encourage PA students to take part in the student academy, to encourage them to take these service offices?
Right. I think it's the well-motivated student who's going to take a leadership position. And while there may be only a small handful of those who may take specific offices, it's up to every PA and PA student to really take on some type of a leadership role. They take on a leadership role when they talk to their patients, their families, and understanding that is a leadership role. people do that within their communities. But it's really important that even one thing that they take on, maybe a short commitment within the AAPA or within the Student Academy, and that could be available to sit at the Student Academy exhibit booth for 4 hours. That's a commitment. The challenge is that's the opportunity to get those students really involved and further involved and excited about moving the profession forward.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this interview?
Probably the last thing I would like to add is that after being AAPA president and the past president, there's many opportunities within your community to do different things as a physician assistant that impact patient care and health access. One thing that I'm working on currently is the PAs for Oral Health. I'm promoting the Smiles for Life program by the American Academy of Family Practice. And within the last 6 years, the knowledge that we've instituted within the AAPA and seeing the opportunities within the AAPA have been great. And so now people understand the oral systemic link in reference to poor oral health and how it affects heart disease, hypertension, other things. So, you know, you don't have to be specifically within a leadership position, but you can simply do an outreach program or community program, and you'll be a leader within your community.